This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and peace be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My respected sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam and I say to every single one of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had blessed us with this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, to make us from amongst those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely in this blessed month to acquire the greatest of rewards. And we all know that we are in a blessed month of Ramadan, and this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran al-Kareem in. And it is that month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with fasting. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. All those who believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon you fasting the way he did on the previous nations before you, so you could acquire taqwa. And the month of Ramadan is the month of fasting. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon us fasting in the month of Ramadan. It's not an option, it's an obligation. And this is something that you and I had grown up in, always understanding and knowing that fasting is an obligatory act upon every single Muslim and Muslimah. The moment you reach the age of puberty, it becomes obligatory. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Islam is based, or Islam is founded on five pillars. And one of those five pillars is fasting in the month of Ramadan. So your fasting, your obligatory fasting must be in the month of Ramadan, not other month. You can't go and choose in other month for you to go and fast. It's got to be in the month of Ramadan, not other month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the month of Ramadan to be the greatest month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen to be the month of fasting. And therefore, sisters, sorry about this. Okay. And therefore, sisters in Islam, it's important for us that when we fast in accordance to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to pray, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us how to fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned the obligatory act of fasting in the Quran al-Kareem. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that had shown us how to fast. And like with the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained upon us to pray, but it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that had shown us how to pray. And therefore, sisters, when we fast, we must fast in a way that is in accordance to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why one of the things, inshallah, we'll be talking about today is to talk about the do's and don'ts of fasting and to make sure that when we fast, our fasting is correct. Because I don't want to fast and put this time and effort into fasting and then later on my fasting is incorrect. Now, when we fast, inshallah, I want to fast and make sure that our fasting is valid, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for this fasting. And it all starts with the intention. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتُ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. All the deeds and actions are according to the intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you according to what you intend for. So it starts with the intention. What's the intention here? We're talking about the intention in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about sincerity. So the intention is about sincerity, that when you fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only for Allah azza wa jal, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention. Man sama Ramadana imanan wahtisaba. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan sincerely for the sake of Allah. So intention means that you fast sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that your fasting is for Allah, your sacrifice is for Allah. You abstain away from water and food from dawn to dusk, from Fajr to Maghrib, is also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other sake. You've got no other reason for you not to eat or drink. Why? Because you are doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sincerity. Number two, as part of the intention, is that you are determined in your fasting. So you fast and you are determined in your fasting. So you fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to uphold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obligatory act upon you, to uphold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders upon you. So you need to acknowledge that this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you, and therefore you fast to fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Also, my sister, when you fast, you have to have the intention before Fajr. In order for your fasting to be accepted and your fasting to be valid, your intention must be there before Fajr, because your fasting starts from Fajr to Maghrib. And therefore, you must have the intention for fasting before Fajr. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, whoever does not make the intention before Fajr, then their fasting is not valid. Their fasting is not accepted. When we talk about Fajr, we're not talking about necessarily to be just before Fajr, where Fajr is at 5 o'clock, you get up 4:30 and you make the intention. Any time before Fajr, 4 a.m. before Fajr, 3 a.m. before Fajr, 12 a.m. before Fajr. You know what? Just before you go to sleep, that night, inshallah, 8 o'clock at night, before Fajr and after Isha. As long as you make the intention, then your fasting will be valid. Why? Because our intention is what differentiates between our habits, customs, our normal everyday actions, and our ibadat. Because some people don't eat from Fajr to Maghrib. They just want to be on a diet, for example. What's the difference between someone who's dieting, not eating and drinking from Fajr to Maghrib, and someone who is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The only difference is the intention. For that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever doesn't make an intention before Fajr, then their fasting is invalid. Okay, we go back to another point here. It does not mean that every single night you have to make that intention. Some of the scholars are of the opinion that you make the intention every single night. Yes, some of them are of the opinion. But the majority of the scholars say that you could make one-off intention from the very beginning of the month of Ramadan. And you say, Ya Allah, I intend to fast every single day of the days of the month of Ramadan for your sake, sincerely for your sake, awaiting the rewards from you. And that's it. You just make that intention. Say, Ya Allah, I make the intention that I intend to fast every single day. If nothing comes and stops you from your regular fasting, then you just continue that intention. If, however, as a sister, you make that intention at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, and then halfway through the month of Ramadan, or a few days after the month of Ramadan, or any time throughout the month of Ramadan, you get your menses. That means you can't fast for 7 days or 10 days or whatever time or duration it is. You need to renew that intention once you start fasting. So that's it. That first intention that you made at the very beginning of the month of Ramadan is invalid now, finished. Or it's not like invalid, it is valid, but that's it. After you get your menses, it's no longer valid. And then you need to renew the intention once again, once you are pure and once you are purified and cleaned, then you renew the intention once again. Say, Allah, I intend to fast every single day from the days of the month of Ramadan, or whatever left is from the days of the month of Ramadan. Get enough for suhoor is also an intention. People usually don't get up for the pre-dawn meal. Who gets up to 8 or 4 a.m., for example, 4:30 a.m.? So just to get up for the suhoor, that's an intention on its own. To get up and drink water before Fajr is also intention on its own. So any act that alludes to you wanting to fast, then that's considered to be intention. So the number one important thing that we need to do is that we need to make the intention, which I'm sure every single one of you had made that intention. However, it's recommended that you renew the intention. You renew the intention every single day before you go to sleep, or every single Fajr before the Adhan of Fajr. Just renew your intention, inshallah, to be on the safe side and to acquire the rewards, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you according to the intention. When we speak about suhoor, now obviously suhoor is one of the recommended acts. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended the suhoor. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat the pre-dawn meal. Okay? And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam also said that my nation is in goodness as long as they continue having the pre-dawn meal. Now obviously when we say the pre-dawn meal, the suhoor, that doesn't mean you have to get up an hour before Salat al-Fajr and make a huge feast and make a huge meal. Drinking water that will satisfy the pre-dawn meal. Eating a bite of food or even one day, that's satisfaction that will suffice the pre-dawn meal. So the pre-dawn meal is not necessarily to be a big massive meal that you eat. pre-dawn meal could be anything. Just to get up and just have a sip of water, you had fulfilled the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's all preparation for the fasting. And it's all about putting the time and effort, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, Allah, I'm putting time and effort for me to acquire the rewards, and also for me to fulfill the obligatory act of fasting. So the intention is the number one. That's something that we need to always keep in mind. Keep in mind that the intention is very, very important. And as I mentioned, it's recommended that you renew your intention every single day. However, make it one-off intention from the very beginning of the month of Ramadan, and there is no disruption in between, then that's sufficient. That's good enough. The Imam Shafi is of the view that you should be renewing your intention every single night, but that's not the opinion of all the scholars. Imam Hanifa says that one intention from the very beginning of the month of Ramadan to the end, that should be sufficient and should be good enough. Going back to the other do's and don'ts, so the intention is number one. Number two is that we refrain from eating and drinking, what nullifies the fasting from Fajr to Maghrib. I know when we say the word Fajr, the first thing that comes to people's minds is the imsak. And if you look at the calendars, most of the calendars, you'll have two timings. One timing before Fajr, which is the imsak, and then you've got the timing of Fajr. So if Fajr is at 5 o'clock, then you usually have imsak 10 minutes before Fajr, in which you'll find on the calendar that will say 4:50 is imsak. And imsak means holding off from eating and drinking. Now imsak, that's only there for cautionary measures. That's only there for cautionary measures. It wasn't put there by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was an act that's been implemented by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Just the scholars in this day and age, they put it for the purpose of just to be in the safe side. Just to be on the safe side in case, you know, there's a bit of timing delays, or maybe the timing of Salat al-Fajr on your calendar is 5 o'clock, maybe in reality it's 4:58, just to give people that heads up for them to prepare themselves for fasting. So if someone gets up and Salat al-Fajr, Adhan al-Fajr is at 5 o'clock and Imsak is at 4:50, and they get up at 4:55 and they want to drink, they can drink, no problems. Just that 10 minutes gap between Fajr and Imsak, it's just there just to prepare people for Fajr and to prepare people for their fasting. So the imsak is not a practice that's been put there by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It's just a practice just to get people ready for fasting. So we start our fasting from Adhan and Fajr. I know one of the common questions that people have been asking is that when Adhan is being called, so Fajr is at 5 o'clock and the Muadhan starts to call, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Is that the time that you stop, or you stop at the end of the Adhan? You stop at the beginning of the Adhan. You stop at the beginning of the Adhan. So the very moment that the Muadhan says, Allahu Akbar, you stop. Okay, the other common question that people ask, what about if you've got a mouthful of food and the Muadhan is calling, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Even though some of the scholars might say, you can swallow it, I would say no. Just be on the safe side. This is your fasting. This is your obligatory act. So what I would recommend is for you to spit it out. Yes, to spit it out. So if you've got a mouthful of food and the Muadhan had called for the Adhan of Salat al-Fajr, Allahu Akbar, you spit it out and make sure that your mouth is clear, because you want to start your fasting from the very beginning of Adhan al-Fajr, and make sure that you commence your fasting and you start your fasting on correct grounds and valid grounds in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you start your fasting from Fajr all the way to Maghrib. What are the things that you're allowed to do and what are the things that you're not allowed to do? Now, obviously, this is our topic today and it is a common thing that people constantly ask. There are three main things that the scholars always focus on when it comes to fasting, when it comes to nullifying the fast. Now, we all know intentional eating, intentional drinking. So if you eat and you know that you are eating while you are fasting, and you drink and you know that you are drinking while you are fasting, then you nullify your fasting. Nullifying the fasting, the nullification of the fasting is one thing. The sin on the top of that is something else. We're not talking about the sins. It's a major sin for you to break your fast without a valid excuse. It's a major sin, yes. A major sin. One of the major sins of Islam. It's like not praying. Not praying is a major sin. And not fasting is a major sin. And one of the requirements of a valid fasting is that you don't eat and drink from Fajr till Maghrib. So if someone intentionally eats and intentionally drinks, then they nullify their fasting and they also gain serious and major sins. They'll also record on themselves major sins. Why do we say intentional? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if someone eats or drinks while they're in the state of fasting out of forgetfulness, then they just continue and pursue the fasting as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that had gifted them with that food and that water. So for someone that had forgotten, you know, they wake up, they used to, the first thing they do is open the fridge or drink a cup of water once they wake up from their sleep or early in the morning. That's the first thing they usually do. And someone is not used to, and someone is like, especially at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, the first 3 days of the month of Ramadan, people still not used to fasting. So someone went and drank or someone went and ate after they already made the intention. So before that, they make the intention, they're going to fast and they're going to fast that day. But then they wake up, they forgot they were fasting, they ate and drank out of forgetfulness. Well, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, continue with your fasting. No sin on you. You did not record or nothing has been recorded on you as a sin. And your fasting is still valid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gave you that food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gave you that water. That's out of forgetfulness. You just continue. You don't even have to make up that day because it's unintentional. But if you eat intentionally and you drink intentionally knowing that it's fasting and you are in a state of fasting, then not only it's haram and not only that you've just received sins, but you've also nullified your fasting. You have to make it up. On the top of all this, you have to continue fasting. You can't just say, okay, let's see, you know what, I'm breaking. No, you have to continue fasting. And some of the scholars are of the strict opinion, like Imam Hanifa says, you have to even make it up for 60 days. That's not the majority opinion, but some of the scholars are of the strict opinion saying, because you break your fasting intentionally and deliberately, you have to make it up by fasting 60 days. Like when someone has intimacy, or when couple have love with one another in the month of Ramadan, intentionally, their expiation is that they have to fast 60 days. So the number one act that nullifies the fasting is deliberate and intentional eating and drinking. Okay, the other one, which is the third common one, sexual intimacy. Okay, I don't want to go too much in the depth of that. We're not talking about sexual contact. We're not talking about touching or kissing or hugging. We're talking about sexual intercourse, and I'm sorry to use that word, but sexual intercourse. That not only nullifies the fasting, but there's also an expiation. And the expiation on that one is that both the man and the woman, husband and wife, must compensate for the wrongdoing in the month of Ramadan by fasting 60 days. And we're not talking about just 60 days, 60 consecutive days. So that's another act that nullifies the fasting. The other act that nullifies the fasting is intentional vomiting. Intentional vomiting. So you go and force yourself to vomit. For whatever reason it is that someone went, they ate or this and that, they go and force themselves to vomit. So if it's an intentional vomiting, you do break your fast. It nullifies your fasting. It's haram, again, because you did it intentionally and deliberately, and it also nullifies your fasting. But if someone was forced to vomit, you know, someone feeling unwell, someone feeling sick, and they were forced to vomit something, you know, like, you know, so you know how it is. We all go through those from time to time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So you are forced to vomit. If you are forced to vomit and it's not in your hands, then you don't nullify your fasting. Your fasting is still valid and you continue with it. What nullifies it? When you force yourself to vomit. You put your hands in your mouth and you force yourself, or your fingers in your mouth and you force yourself to vomit. You push your stomach to and you force yourself to vomit. For whatever reason, at the end of the day, as long as you are not forced to vomit, as long as it's not something in your hands. But if it's something that's in your hands, then your fasting is still considered to be valid and you just continue with your fasting that day. But if you force yourself to vomit, then you nullify your fasting. Okay, another thing that nullifies your fasting, and this is like the common thing, obviously, once a woman gets her period, so let's say she started the beginning of the day with fasting, then midday she starts to see blood or she starts to see bleeding, and I'm sorry to use those terms, but just to be clear about things, she got her period. The very moment that she gets her period, that's it. She can no longer continue with her fasting. She can't continue with her fasting anymore. And obviously that's not in her hands. She's not the one that had chosen to bleed in the month of Ramadan, or even bleed in her entire life. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad said. It's not something that's in your hands. You just continue without fasting that day, and then you continue with fasting after you are clean. Okay, after you are clean. All right. So these are the major things that really break the fasting. These are the major things that really break the fasting. The things that don't break the fasting, but you have to be conscious of, in which a lot of the times people ask the question, okay, questions like, can I brush my teeth, for example? Or can I have a shower? Can I swim? Things like that. First of all, you don't have to do them. You could do them before Fajr, or you could do them after Maghrib. No one is forcing you to do them right in the middle of your fasting. But on the top of all this, you can do them. However, if you make a mistake and you swallow, you nullify your fasting and you are sinful too. So for example, brushing your teeth, which is one of the most frequently asked questions in the month of Ramadan. Can I brush my teeth? Sister, brush your teeth before Fajr. Brush your teeth after Maghrib. I'm sure it's not going to be a big harm if you don't brush your teeth in between Fajr and Maghrib. But if you do go ahead and brush your teeth and you do swallow something, then you had nullified your fasting and you're a sinner. Because you're not supposed to be doing that. You don't have to do that. If you do brush your teeth and you don't swallow anything and nothing goes past the throat, then your fasting is valid. So brushing your teeth on its own is not an issue. It's about swallowing something. And whether you swallow it intentionally, unintentionally, and sometimes you might slip, make a mistake, and you swallow it, then you had nullified your fasting and you had committed a sin. Likewise, having a shower, for example, you could have a shower. No one's stopping you from having a shower in the state of fasting. You can have a shower. But if you have a shower and you swallow water while you're having a shower, then you had nullified your fasting. Because you could have a shower before Fajr, you could have a shower after. You break your fast after Maghrib. No one had told you to go and have a shower at that time. But at the end of the day, if you do have a shower and you don't swallow anything, no issues. But if you do, then you are liable. Then you become responsible. Another common question people ask, okay, swimming. Can I swim when I'm fasting? Yes, you can. As long as you can, secure and guarantee that you're not going to swallow anything. And if you do swallow anything, you have invalidated and nullified your fasting and you're a sinner because no one told you to swim during that time. As long as nothing goes past the throat. So nothing goes past the throat. If something goes past the throat, then you become liable and responsible. These are some of the common questions that people ask. Okay, medications. You've got a number of medications, direct medications that go directly to the stomach from the mouth. Okay, 100% is going to nullify your fasting. What about if you have to take it? If you have to take it, then don't fast. You can't just go and take pills and say, you know, I'll continue fasting. You don't have to fast. That's it. Just pay an expiation. If you can't pay an expiation, don't do anything. It's not in your hands. I know one of the debatable topics right now is the ventilators or talking about the asthma puffers. I believe that you shouldn't use it while you're fasting. And if you have to use it, don't fast. I'm not telling you go and put yourself in the hardship. No. If you have to use it, don't fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you not to fast. So any medicine or any medication that goes directly into the stomach, okay, then that nullifies the fasting. What about eye drops and ear drops? Those drops do not nullify your fasting even if you taste it in your throat. So that's according to the scholars. So eye drops and ear drops, even while you are fasting and you put them in your ears or you put them in your eyes, even if you taste the taste of the medication in your throat, that does not nullify your fasting because there's no direct link to your stomach there, as the scholars say. There's no direct link to your stomach, as the scholars mention. Okay. Injections. Okay, there's two types of injections. One injection which gives you nourishment, gives you nutrition, gives you power, gives you strength. You've got some of those injections like they've fed you. Those type of injections 100% nullify your fasting. Those types of injections 100% nullify your fasting. The other type of injections, which are medicines that don't give you nourishment, don't give you nutrition, don't give you food, don't give you, when I say food, like, you know, it's like a replacement of food, don't give you energy, then those types of injections do not nullify your fasting. That also includes common questions that people ask. Doing a blood test. Blood coming out of your body doesn't nullify your fasting. But, if you intend to go and do a blood test, and you don't have to do it in the month of Ramadan, if you have to, that's a different topic. But it's like, you know, I could wait till after the month of Ramadan, but you know, the chef said that taking blood out and doing a blood test doesn't break it fast. So you end up doing it. And yes, the nurse or the doctor, whoever it is, they took the blood out of your body. Your fasting is still valid. But after you start to feel drowsy and tired and fatigued and you're about to faint. And then what happened here? You have to drink water. You have to break your fast. You have to drink juice, as they usually give us a cup of juice after you give blood or after you do a blood test. Then you are liable here. Yes, you have to break your fast because you're going to faint. And the Sharia is not going to put you in harm. But no one forced you to do your blood test in the month of Ramadan. And because you did your blood test in the month of Ramadan, when you didn't have to do the blood test in the month of Ramadan, if you have to do it, okay, that's a different topic. But since you didn't have to do it and you ended up doing it, and because you did the blood test, you were forced to break your fast. Okay, you break your fast. I understand you break your fast. And the Sharia understands that you break your fast. And you had to break your fast. But you are liable. You're a sinner. Because no one told you to go and put yourself in that position. You could have done it after the month of Ramadan. And we're not talking about situations where you have to go and do a blood test. We're just talking about, okay, you know what? It's a choice between me doing a blood test now or a blood test after the month of Ramadan. So you know what? I'm going to do what the sheikh said. It's all right for me to go and do the blood test. Yes, it is all right. But then after you're so fatigued and tired, you're about to collapse. You have to break your fast, and therefore you break your fast, but you're a sinner at the same time. You have committed a sin. So you did break your fast, and it's understandable why you break your fast, but why did you do your blood test during the month of Ramadan when you didn't have to do your blood test in the month of Ramadan? That's not understandable. Therefore, that will be recorded upon you as a sin. Yes, that will be recorded upon you as a sin. Other questions that people ask is cupping, hijama. Can we do hijama while we're fasting? Yes, you can. But if you do hijama while you're fasting and then after you did the hijama, you feel fatigued and tired and exhausted and you're about to collapse and then you have to break your fast, you had committed the sin because no one told you to do your hijama. You don't have to go and do your hijama between Fajr and Maghrib. You could have done it after Maghrib. You could have done it before Fajr. You could do it any other time. You could do it after the month of Ramadan. Why did you have to go and do it while you're fasting in between Fajr and Maghrib and then it resulted to that you had to break it fast? No, the Sharia doesn't accept that. No one told you can do that. Another common question that people ask is rinsing the mouth and nose while you're fasting. Yes, you can rinse your mouth and nose while you're fasting. Yes, you can. But as long as you don't swallow water. And if you are unsure if you're going to rinse your mouth or nose and you're going to swallow water, then rinse your mouth and nose. Just keep away from it. No one had forced you to do so. No one had forced you to do so. So keep away from it. So rinsing the mouth and nose, you can, but it's disliked. And if you do swallow and you know that you should have, you know that you had the option not to, then you become liable. All right. The other thing that people ask about the month of Ramadan and common questions that people ask in the month of Ramadan, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's a common question. People saying that swallow their saliva. Some people say, you know, sometimes I pile it up in my mouth and swallow it. This is in your mouth. No one's going to tell you and no one's going to stop you from doing that. Even though some of the scholars had mentioned that it's not recommended for you to do that and it's disliked, but it's something inside your mouth and no one's going to stop you from doing so. Okay. Now, these are some of the questions that we usually and frequently get asked with regards of fasting in the month of Ramadan and what are the things that you can do, you don't do in the month of Ramadan while you're fasting. Now, the other thing that's recommended while you're fasting is that, obviously, committing the haram while you're fasting, okay, that's not recommended, of course. It's haram for you to commit the haram. But while you're fasting, committing the haram, even though it might not nullify your fasting, but you still commit a sin and you lose the rules of fasting. So, for example, if I'm fasting and I'm looking at the haram, or I'm listening to the haram, I'm fasting, I'm looking at the haram, or I'm listening to the haram, that doesn't nullify my fasting. However, it makes me lose the rules of fasting. So if someone's listening to music, for example, while they're fasting, their fasting is correct, but they get no rewards. On top of that, they also get sins. They commit sins. Why? Because you're committing haram. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not abstain away from the evil doings and the evil sayings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of them to keep away from the food and water from Fajr to Maghrib. So committing the sins, not all sins nullify your fasting, but they'll make you lose your rewards of your fasting. Not all sins nullify your fast. Some sins do nullify your fasting. But most sins do not nullify your fasting. Your fasting is still correct and you get that tick that you fast on that day. However, you lose the rewards of fasting. One of them is a common question that people ask is that, can I fast while I'm not praying? Okay, fasting is one thing. Praying is something else. If you fast and you're not praying, inshallah, your fasting is accepted, but you get no rewards because you're committing a sin by not praying. Another sister asked the question also, can I fast and not wear the hijab? Yes, your fasting is correct. And not wearing the hijab is haram. So that's something for you to start working on. And inshallah, I hope that inshallah you do get rewards for your fasting. But definitely your fasting is valid, but not wearing the hijab is a sin. And to combine those two in the month of Ramadan is not the best of things. And that's why I encourage the sisters, inshallah, to make a change in their life in the month of Ramadan and to put on the hijab. If they're not wearing the hijab, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity for you to make a change in your life. Also, when do you break your fast? You break your fast the very moment the Mu'addin says, Allahu Akbar for Maghrib. Likewise, you stop eating and drinking the very moment the Mu'addin says, Allahu Akbar for Fajr. You break your fast the very moment the Mu'addin says, Allahu Akbar for Maghrib. And you shouldn't delay it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my ummah, my nation is in great goodness as long as they continue delaying their suhoor and making their break of the fast at the very beginning of Maghrib. So don't think, well, I'm going to give another 5 minutes and get extra rewards. It doesn't work that way. The very moment the Mu'addin makes adhan for Salat al-Maghrib, that's it. Your fasting had ended, and it's recommended that you start your meal with water and dates, as the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And he used to pray Salat al-Maghrib. So to break your fast with water and dates, then you dig into your food, or sahtain, or afiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. And it's also recommended to make dua before you break your fast, as the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the dua of the one who is breaking their fast is accepted. So that time that you are waiting to break your fast, and that moment that you are sitting down around the table or waiting for the Mu'addin to call for Salat al-Maghrib to break your fast, is a moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua. And there's a specific dua that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say upon breaking his fast. And it's also recommended to feed the fasting people because you get the rewards of the fasting people. So let's say you invited 10 people over or you donated towards, you can't do that now. So just to be clear, not during the restrictions that we are going through. But let's say they invite 10 people over or you donate money towards feeding 10 people, you get the rewards of those 10 people. 100 people, get the rewards of those 100 people. SubhanAllah, look how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the month of Ramadan. And it's recommended that every night you pray the Qiyam, which is the Qiyam prayers, the night for prayers that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established, and the other Tarawih prayers. And they are only allowed to be prayed after you had prayed Salat al-Isha. You can't pray Tarawih prayers before Salat al-Isha. A common mistake that people used to do last year, they used to come to the masjid, for example, after they missed Salat al-Isha and joining the Imam for Salat al-Tarawih, then they pray Salat al-Isha after. But that's wrong. Salat al-Tarawih must be performed after Salat al-Isha, after you had prayed Salat al-Isha. So you can't pray Tarawih prayers before Salat al-Isha. Also, it's recommended that you revive the days and the nights of the month of Ramadan in the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem. That's one of the things that we've been talking about, encouraging ourselves and you to continue reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. And it's also recommended to donate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always generous and more generous in the month of Ramadan than any other month. So any donation and contribution they give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commendable in the month of Ramadan. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your tongue. The month of Ramadan is about being in a state of worship, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. So you fast during the day and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray to him in the evening. And you continue remembering Allah azza wa jalla also in the day. So the month of Ramadan is about being in a state of worship 24/7. And subhanAllah, this is one of the beautiful things that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And then you've got the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, which is another topic that inshallah we'll be covering very soon. We'll talk about the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan and what's recommended in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan and what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. So sisters, I just wanted to cover quickly on some of the do's and don'ts of fasting in the month of Ramadan. What are the recommended acts that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended? What are the things that the Sharia had recommended? And inshallah, we will continue to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month. More importantly, after this month, See, a lot of people get it wrong because they just focus on this month. They just want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. They just want to connect themselves to the Quran Kareem just in this month. And they do, yes, they get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. And they connect themselves to the Quran Kareem in this month. But after this month, they deter away. Why? Because that was your plan. That was your intention. They deter away because that's their plan and intention. Their intention is for them to connect to Allah Azza wa Jalla in this month. And they did. And their intention was to connect to the Quran Kareem in this month. And they did. And their intention was to keep away from the haram in this month. And they did. But their intention wasn't for after this month. So what happens when this month ends? They end everything with it. Intention is very important. Very important. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to always emphasize on the importance of the niyyah intention. It's not like, nawaitu an usalli arba rak'at salat al-asr or nawaitu an usum li wajhi Allah ta'ala. No. Intention is inside determination and sincerity. Acknowledgement. Determination, sincerity, and acknowledgement that you are determined in your worship, you are sincere in your worship, and you acknowledge this worship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sisters, let us all inshallah renew our intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I know it's been a bit of a challenging year this year with the month of Ramadan not coming to the masajid, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon us. Inshallah, it's only a matter of time that the masajid and the centers in particular, the UMA, will open again. And we'll have your wonderful company, inshallah, here at the UMA. And inshallah, we'll continue remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla reward you. May Allah azza wa jalla accept from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us all. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us and being with us, inshallah, every single Saturday, 1:30 p.m. here on the UMA online platforms, social media platforms, and every single night, 7:30 p.m. So every single night, 7:30 p.m., we've been live streaming all the different talks from the UMA on all the different UMA social media platforms. And specifically, inshallah, we'll continue with the sisterhood lessons and programs every Saturday, 1:30 p.m. on the UMA Sisterhood Facebook page and the other UMA social media platforms. Once again, Jazakumullah khairan for being with us. And may Allah reward you, except from you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us again for His pleasure, for His sake. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ramadan Mubarak to you, to your family, to the entire Muslim community. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.